Hey, good morning, everyone. Great to have you with us. And today is our last day of our Growing Pains series. A number of years ago when we lived in Port Hope, I started going to the gym in our community. The best gym in the area was the local YMCA. And as I started to go on a regular basis, more consistent on a daily basis, I got to know some of the people who were there in the early morning hours. And one of the individuals that I got to know was one of the trainers there named Dave. From time to time, Dave, I've talked about him before, he would help me on certain exercises, certain practices that I need to put into my workout routine and tell me things I was doing right and things that I was doing wrong. And occasionally, after a few months of working out, he would ask me if I would help him spot him on certain exercises and barely ever, and they were low weights, but he would ask me for some help. And then the great privilege came when he said to me, hey, do you want to work out with me? And there were a few moments that he would do this. It didn't happen very often, but occasionally he would. And no matter what I planned on working on that day, I'd always say yes, because I knew that Dave was able to help me become better in the exercises that I was engaged in on a regular basis. He would teach me new things, and I would always say yes. So this one particular day I'd come in, and I think the plan was for me to work on my chest, and Dave said to me, hey, Jeff, do you want to work out? I said, yeah, for sure I do. And he says, well, I'm working on legs. Now, here's the thing. I didn't normally work on my legs. My legs have been pretty thick over the years from biking, and I didn't want to increase the size of my legs, and so I really didn't put a whole lot of effort into doing exercises for my legs, but I wanted to work out with Dave, and so I said, for sure, let's do it. So we went over to this leg press machine. And he said, hey, it's called this, and I can't even remember what it was. I feel like it was called the Euro Press or something like that. And he says, what we're going to do is we're going to do a leg press. We're going to do 10 reps very quickly. Then the next person will get in. We'll switch the weights accordingly. He was going to do obviously much more than me. He said, we'll do 10 quick reps. And then the next person will come on and back and forth. And there will barely be a break. And so I was like, okay, I'm in. So he gets there, we have all these plates on, he does his first leg press, then we take a few plates off and I get there and I start to do the leg press, and then he gets back in, we put more plates on, he does it, then I do it. And friends, we're about 3 reps in, and all of a sudden, all the blood seems to drain from my head all the way down to my legs, and I go pale. I feel like I'm going to be sick. I kind of enter this zone, this mental zone, this twilight zone type of frame of mind. I didn't even know where I was, and I'm sitting there, and Dave looks at me and goes, Jeff, are you okay? I couldn't respond. And then he said, Jeff, are you okay? And I just sat there. I didn't want to throw up in the leg press, and I just sat there and I waited, and I could barely breathe, and I felt sick, and I felt terrible. And I waited for a few moments, and then finally, I got up and I went over to the garbage pail, and yeah, it happened. I lost my breakfast. And a few moments later, Dave came, gave me a Gatorade, and replenished myself. And he said to me, he's like, Jeff, I'm sorry. He said, even though I put on the weights that would have been appropriate for you, he said, I'm used to this exercise. This is a very difficult exercise. And if this is the first time you've done it, you can't keep up with me. He said, that's my fault. I feel so bad for putting you through this. It was in that moment that I realized something. That so often in my life, I want to get to the level of success. I want to be operating at the same level as somebody else. But I haven't done the exercises. I haven't done the habits that will get me there. That day, I wanted to operate at the same level as Dave, but I hadn't spent any time ever doing this before. The habits weren't in my life. This isn't true just of physical exercise, but it comes about with our finances. It comes about with spiritual elements. It comes about with relational elements. We want to operate at a high level of success, and yet we want to jump from doing nothing to that high level immediately. But the individuals who have reached the place of success have formulated some habits within their life to get them there. And it's important that we put habits into our lives if we're going to get to the spiritual, financial, relational, physical places that we want to be. Habits are the acquired behavior patterns that have been regularly followed until they become almost involuntary. Friends, I want to suggest this to you today. In order for us to grow spiritually, we are going to have to put some growth habits in our life so that we can get to the success stage in our spirituality, so that we can get to the best places in our spirituality. So how does this happen? I want you to turn in your Bibles, look at the screen to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize." Here's the context. Paul's preaching to the Corinthians. And in Corinth, the city of Corinth held the Isthmian Games. They were only second to the Olympics themselves. Philosophers of that day would have used sports metaphors when talking about various elements of life. And here Paul is speaking to the city, not just utilizing what other philosophers would have used, but he's also speaking to the context of the city, who are a sports-crazed city, knowing that every 2 years these Isthmian Games would show up. And he uses this metaphor, the Isthmian Games, he uses the sports metaphor to begin to talk about growth habits. And I want to pull some of the principles that he uses from the sports analogies to talk to you about the growth habits that you need in your life. The very first thing we see is that we need to set goals. Set goals. Paul says, run in a way to get the prize. Run in a way to get the prize. There were two prizes that an athlete would have got during the Isthmian Games. The first was a crown that was made of pine branches that was formed into a circle around their head. In later days, they would have exchanged that pine crown for celery leaves, and it would have been placed upon their heads, and it was the great reward. It's like getting the gold medal at the Olympics. The second thing that they would have been aiming for was for notoriety. You see, just inside of the Poseidon, the place where the runners would begin their race, the starting line, there would have been a monument there towards some of the great individuals who had created these games, but on the monument would have been the names of past victors. And as those athletes were there at the starting line, they would have looked over at the monument and they would have seen people who had won the race before. And the notoriety with those names, it would have been forever etched in stone. They didn't want just the crown. They wanted the notoriety to always be remembered and that every future runner would know that their name was on that monument. They wanted the crown and they wanted the notoriety. You see, Paul says to them, hey, if you're going to be in this spiritual race, you've got to set your goals. You've got to be focused on some kind of goal. And we know that ultimately our goal is salvation, making it to heaven. But there's also a short-term goal, because Paul says in verse 26, I don't run aimlessly. And when I read this running aimlessly, I gotta tell you, I think back to the movie Forrest Gump. I think about Forrest just running and running and running and running. Where is he running? No one has any idea. He's just running aimlessly. Paul says, I don't run aimlessly. He says, I don't beat the air. He says, I'm not punching the air, just hitting nothing. He says, I'm not living my life aimlessly. He says, I want to confront aimless Christianity. Friends, listen to this. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, if you live your life in an aimless way, you will achieve nothing every single time. Growth requires aim, setting goals. I'll never forget when I was youth pastoring, I had heard about a great revival that had taken place in Marysville, Washington. And it was a youth revival, this small community of about 15,000 people, and they had seen about 1,000 teenagers come to Christ. I was blown away. This just didn't make sense. This wasn't a major metropolitan area. This was a smaller community. But under the leadership of Benny Perez, they had seen this great miracle. And so I decided to call down and ask the church what took place to bring about this kind of revival? Well, they said they had started to pray that God would bring people to Christ. I thought, well, I'm doing that. Then they said, well, they got people in the church to regularly fast and pray. And I thought, okay, I can do that. And so I started something called Battle for a Generation. And what I did is I photocopied the yearbooks of the local high schools, and I divvied them out to people in our church, and I asked that they would commit one day a week to praying and fasting for the high school students. And so we did that. But then the person on the other side, on the other line, said to me, our leaders have made a commitment to regularly pray and to fast, to regularly pray and fast themselves for God to do something in the city. I realized that I had asked other people to pray. I asked other people to fast. I had been praying myself that God would do great things in our youth ministry. But the one thing I didn't have is I didn't have fasting as a regular part of my life. It wasn't a habit that had been part of my weekly life. And so at that point, I thought, I have a goal. I want to see students get saved in Pembroke. I want to see students come to Christ in Pembroke. I want to see people transformed by the gospel. And so I made it a commitment that every Wednesday I would fast and pray. And I would take those times that I would normally eat, and I would devote them to praying that God would do something within our youth ministry. And friends, I got to tell you, we started to see the Holy Spirit work. We started to see people come to Christ. We started to see students added to the kingdom of God. But it started when I had a goal that required a habit. You have got to place a goal in your life. If you are going to have growth habits, if you're going to have something that's going to be there on a regular basis, you've got to see what the prize is. Paul says, don't run aimlessly. See the crown. See the name on the monument. See the students getting saved. See intimacy with Jesus. See a greater knowledge of the Word of God. See your family getting saved. See the goal. Set the goal so that you can place the growth habits in your life. The second thing we see in this passage is that we have to intentionally withdraw. Paul writes in verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Training for the Isthmian Games required two types of withdrawing. First of all, 1 month prior to the beginning of the games, all athletes were withdrawn from their local communities where they had been training at the local gym. They were withdrawn from their local communities to the city of Elis. Elis wasn't allowed to send athletes themselves. This was a center that was to gather all the athletes, where they would be in an environment where they were withdrawn from anybody who wasn't training and put into one community where everybody was spurring each other on, where everybody had the same ethos, where they were going after the same thing, where the habits were part of the culture. The second thing, second part of withdrawing wasn't just from their local community, but during that season of training, strict training, they had to withdraw from bad food, from alcohol, and from sexual indulgences. They wanted to make sure that there was nothing within their life that was going to affect them physically so that they could present themselves the best way possible to win the race. You see, habits were not formed randomly. They came about when people intentionally withdrew from places, withdrew from things to ensure discipline in their life for the greatest successes. Friends, I want to tell you that if you're going to see growth happen in your life, if you're going to see the growth habits placed in your life, you're going to have to withdraw from two different realms, two realms of activities. The first is you're going to have to withdraw from counterproductive activities. Counterproductive. Those are those activities that are pulling you in a different direction. But let me give you a for instance. For the athletes of the Isthmian Games, they would have to withdraw from lax people. You see, if they were in their home community, say they happen to live in Ottawa, and they're there in Ottawa and they're hanging out with their friends, and one night they're thinking about going to the gym to strengthen themselves for the games, for their goal. And their friends go, no, you know what? Let's go out for chicken wings. You don't need to work out today. And then, you know what? Why don't we go to Stella Luna's afterwards and get some ice cream? We'll have a great night together and hang out. And then, hey, after that, we'll stay up late and we'll play video games. And you can just take it easy. They had to withdraw from an environment that was counterproductive, that which would go against the very type of nature that they wanted, the very type of habits they wanted in their life. You see, if they were in that type of environment, they would be doing actions that were counterproductive to what was best for their life. Let me give you one spiritually. You determine in your life that you want to become a grateful person. You want to be a person who speaks positively. You want to have the habit of always giving God praise and always speaking life over things and being a positive individual. But you happen to be in an environment of friends who are always negative. Every time you're with your friends, they're criticizing this person. They're criticizing the pastor. They're criticizing the government leaders. They're criticizing other friends. They're criticizing their spouses. They are just constantly criticizing. You see, you're trying to produce a positive demeanor in your life. You're trying to have growth habits that produce something positive, but you've placed yourself in a counterproductive environment where people are actually dragging you the other way. Friends, if you're going to grow spiritually, you've got to withdraw from any activity, any environment that is counterproductive for what you desire in your life. For some of you, you may need to remove activities. For some of you, you may need to withdraw from environments of people that are counterproductive, those things that are pulling you away from your goals. We've got to withdraw from anything that's counterproductive. But the second realm that we've got to withdraw from is anything that's unprofitable. You see, an unprofitable thing is something that is amoral. It's an amoral activity. It's not moral or immoral. It's amoral. And it's an activity that doesn't aid to your growth. I like this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 that says, I have the right to do anything. I can do anything. If it's not sinful, it's fine. Paul says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. You see, there are some things in your life that are not immoral, but they are unprofitable. They aren't helping you grow. They aren't helping you improve in your spiritual walk. And those are the things that are drawing you away from the growth that you need in Jesus. And those growth habits are being stunted because you are surrounded by activities that are not beneficial, that are not constructive, that are unproductive. It's like this. An athlete, the night before the big race, decides that they're going to binge watch some TV show. They're going to go through all 5 seasons of some TV show. And the show's not immoral, but it's just not productive. Staying up all night, not getting a good night's sleep, isn't productive for the athlete to win the race. What about spiritually? Well, I remember a season in my life where my goal was to hear more from God. And it was in my last year of Bible college, and I was so hungry to hear the voice of God. And what I would do is Ainsley and I were married at this point. I would drive from Whitby to Peterborough to Bible College and then home. And I would listen to Christian music all the way there and all the way back. It was a great environment. I could listen to whatever Christian music I wanted, and I just enjoy it. I would play it full volume, roll down the windows. It was just wonderful. But nothing immoral about it. But here I was, and I had this goal to hear the voice of God. And one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, if you want to hear my voice, you're going to need to withdraw from Christian music. Sounds really ridiculous. How can that be from God? He said, I want you to withdraw from your Christian music for 1 week. As you're driving to Peterborough and home from Peterborough, I want you to sit in silence. The Christian music obviously wasn't immoral, but it wasn't productive. And so for the next week, I had to sit quietly. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Not say anything. Simply sit in quietness hearing his voice. You see, I had to withdraw from something that was preventing me from getting my goal. Something that wasn't producing what I desired. Friends, I don't know about you, but there are all kinds of things in my life from time to time that I've got to withdraw from. Social media, TV, wasting time. There are all kinds of things that we allow into our life that are not immoral, but they are affecting our spiritual growth. And we need to not just withdraw from things that are counterproductive, but we need to withdraw from things that are unprofitable. Let me ask you this question. What do you need to withdraw from to form the growth habits for your life? What do you need to stop spending so that you can give more? Where do you need to spend less time? What activities do you need to withdraw from so that you can spend more time with God? What situations do you need to withdraw from so that you can get deeper into the Bible? What things are captivating your time and you need to withdraw from those things, not because they're evil, not because they're sinful, but because they're preventing you from getting closer to Jesus. They're preventing you from growing in the habits that are required for the success in your spiritual journey. What things are you withdrawing from? Lastly, we look at this passage and we see that if we're going to grow in our habits, we've got to have high commitment. High commitment. Verse 27, Paul writes, "I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached, I am not disqualified from the prize." This word preach is the Greek word charax. And what it is tied to is that during the Isthmian Games, there would be a herald or a charax. And this herald would stand before the crowd before the race started, before the activities started, and he would announce the rules of the race or the sporting event. That was the charax. And what Paul is saying in this moment is, I don't want to stand up with my life and say, this is how you're supposed to live. This is what Christianity is all about. I don't want to be a herald who's proclaiming the ways of Christianity, but who actually doesn't live up to what he's proclaiming. And so what does Paul do? He says that he beats his body. It literally means that he gives himself a black eye, that he makes his body a slave to himself. Now listen, he's not saying that he's acting in an ascetic manner, but what he's declaring is that he is committed on a high level to growing in Christ. He has a high commitment. Well, this idea of beating oneself is not to just, you know, every time you mess up, you start to pound your chest or beat your arm. It's about high-level commitment. Let me tell you something. Low-level commitment will allow habits in our life until things get hard. I mean, you stand in a service, and maybe you're inspired right now, and you're going, that's it. I'm going to start to read my Bible even more than I've been reading. And you do it for 3 days, and it's really, really easy. But day four, you had a terrible night's sleep, and you're tired, and you don't feel like it. And so you go, you know what? I'm not going to read my Bible today. That's low-level commitment. Our low-level commitment is anything where we stop as soon as it gets difficult. I stop going to church as soon as it becomes a struggle. I stop worshiping when I don't feel like it. I stop giving when it's tight on my budget. I stop reading my Bible when I'm distracted and busy with other things. I stop praying when life is chaotic. I stop low-level commitment. Paul says, I'm highly committed. Highly committed means that we have habits in our life that push us through the hard times. Those habits aren't there just in the good times. They're there in the good times and the hard times. I love the vows that I made to Ainsley when we first got married. They're like this. Many of you have said this who are married. For better, yes, I'll marry her. I'm committed to her in those better times. Or worse. Yeah, and worse. I'm committed to her in richer. Oh, yeah, as long as there's money there. Or poorer. Yeah, a lot of poorer moments. I'm committed in sickness. Seriously? And in health. And that commitment was, hey, I'm committed in good times and bad times. And what Paul's saying is that if we're going to have growth habits in our life, there's got to be this high level of commitment that says my body is becoming subject to my will. No matter what I feel, no matter what my emotions are, no matter how much I don't want to do something, I'm going to operate at a high level of commitment. Did Paul live this out? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9 says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed." Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 10, he says, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurances, in troubles, in hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work and sleepless nights and hunger, and purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. And I won't read it to you today, but in 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 29, he goes on to talk about the hardships of following Christ. That in the midst of all difficulties, we beat our body, not physically, but we say to our bodies, listen, I am serving Christ no matter if it's a good season or a bad season. I choose to have these habits, these growth habits in my life. I choose to pray. I choose to read my Bible. I choose to go to church. I choose to give. I choose to serve. I choose to invite the presence of God in my life. I choose to listen to the Holy Spirit. I choose to tell other people about Jesus. I choose habits that will grow me in my spirituality even when I don't feel like it. Even when I don't feel like it, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like quitting. And let me tell you something, friends. My whole occupation is built around spirituality. But there are days I don't feel like praying. There are days I don't feel like reading my Bible. There are days when I get afraid to share my faith. There are days when I think when I hand in my tithe that maybe I could use that towards some repair in my house or in one of my vehicles. There are days when I don't even want to come to church. I've had a terrible night's sleep and I'm stressed by something and I don't feel like coming here. There are all kinds of days where the habits of growth spiritually are the last thing in the world I want to do. But I know this. The first moment that I break away from the habit gives me permission for a second breakaway. And that gives me permission for a third breakaway until I form a brand new habit and I'm not reading my Bible and I'm not praying and church is something just on the side and giving is something that is random and sharing my faith is barely ever occurring. You see, the moment that I allow my body to rise up and say, I don't feel like it, it's the moment that my low-level commitment comes in and I find myself forming a brand new set of commitments. A brand new set of habits, rather, that caused me to go in a completely different direction. I'll never forget my son Brock when he was a junior high. He was determined that he was going to get in shape. And so every day he would do a certain amount of push-ups. He'd do a certain amount of sit-ups. One week we went south on a trip to Cuba as a family. And we were at the airport, and Brock hadn't done his push-ups or his sit-ups yet. And so here we were in the Pearson International Airport, and Brock is laying on the carpet, and he's doing push-ups and sit-ups in the airport. Not because it's a cool place, everybody's watching him, but he wanted to keep his habits in place. Every morning we'd wake up and go down to the pool, and we'd knock on the kids' door to get them ready, and so Bailey and Briar would always be ready to go. And Brock would say, I'll be down in 5 minutes, I just got to do my push-ups and my sit-ups. I mean, the whole family's going, we're all going down to eat, but he refused to do anything until these habits were accomplished. Didn't feel like it, but he was committed to it so that he could get in shape. You see, that's what growth habits are about. Such a high level of commitment that even when we don't feel like it, we keep going because we have a goal before us. I'll never forget when I first started to put the habit of prayer into my life. I simply thought to myself, I need to figure out a way that I can pray regularly. So I determined that after school or after dinner, I would go down to my basement and pray. And I needed to be focused, and so I thought, I'm going to create a mental list. And I had family members and friends and just different things. And I'd walk through this picture in my mind, and I'd go, okay, I'm going to pray for these people in my family. I'm going to pray for these people. And I'd walk around, and I'd take my whole prayer time, and I would do that on a daily basis. After a little while, I realized that I had become pretty consistent and the time was always the same and I was praying regularly. And if there was ever a night where I just wasn't able to do it because of my schedule, I would make sure that before I ever went to bed, even if it was super late at night, I would go down to my basement and go through that mental list. Something happened though. As I got really familiar and it became fairly easy to pray the mental list, I realized I needed to start listening to God. I was doing a lot of talking, but I needed to start listening. And I would take moments where I would practice just listening to his voice as I was praying. I would go through my list, and then I'd just pause, and I'd listen. And I'd hear him say things to me. And I made that part of my habit of prayer. But as I would listen, I would sense his presence. And something got added to my prayer time. As his presence would fill that basement, I feel this need to worship. And so here I am in my basement, and I'm with my arms raised, and I begin to tell God how much I loved him, and I quietly sing. Thankfully, he doesn't care about how bad my singing voice is, but I would quietly sing to him, and I would worship him, and it became something else that was added to my prayer life. Started off with a mental list, consistent, daily, same time, same place. Then I added worship. And it kept adding and kept growing, and I kept growing. You see, friends, if we're going to grow spiritually, we've got to have growth habits that aren't just there, but those habits are growing also. So if you're going to grow spiritually, you've got to set a goal. You've got to intentionally withdraw from anything that's unproductive or anything that is unprofitable or counterproductive. And friends, you've got to have a high level of commitment, saying to yourself, even if I don't feel like it, I'm going to make this a habit within my life. You've allowed some habits to slip aside. In fact, you've formulated some new habits of staying away from church. I'm not talking about the pandemic realm. I'm talking about when things were normal, you've pulled away from church. You've stopped praying. You've stopped reading your Bible. You've stopped giving. You've stopped serving. You've stopped sharing your faith. The truth is that as you formulated these new habits of withdrawing from that which you needed, you've actually found yourself away from God. You have habits that are all about yourself but don't involve God at all, and you're feeling empty. I want to invite you to begin a new set of habits today, and the first habit would be this, that every day you would invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, that you would ask him to be in charge of everything you do, and you would commit yourself to him. I want to stop serving myself. I want to stop pulling away from the things that bring me life, and I want to start forming new habits that involve you. As we close this Growing Pains series, I want to pray that God would help you on your growth habits. Let's pray. I'm asking God that you would help them to set goals, set something before them of who they want to be spiritually, the things they want to achieve, the success, not just in life, but eternally. God, let them set some goals. I pray they'll intentionally withdraw from anything that is counterproductive to the spiritual goals they have. I pray that they will withdraw from things that are unprofitable, God, that are not immoral, but they're robbing them. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's too much time just on their devices. God, I pray they withdraw from anything that is unprofitable so they can go after you. And I pray that they would place a high level of commitment, like Paul said, I beat my body, not physically, but that they would practice this high level of commitment, saying, my body is going to become subject to my will, and I will to go after the things that God has for me. So help my friends to follow these growth habits and watch the things that you will do in their life today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.